thank you for being here this morning. As I mentioned last Sunday, today will be the final lesson in our series on the book of Philippians. And Tom read for us from chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. And in this section of the letter, as Paul draws his letter to a close, he expresses his personal thanks and gratitude to the brethren for their monetary gift that they had sent with Epaphroditus to deliver to him. Remember, Paul's a prisoner at this time while he writes this letter. And yet he still had needs. He still had things that support that he relied on to continue his work. And this church in particular was a source of tremendous blessing to Paul. As he mentions here, they had time and again had sent funds to help with his needs so that he could devote himself fully to preaching the gospel. And here again, they have done that. And Paul was very, very thankful and is part of the reason why I think he wrote this letter, so that he could thank them to express his gratitude for their kindness and their generosity. But as Paul talks about that, he also uses it to be a springboard, if you will, to give us more teaching, to give us more instruction, to help Christians, all Christians, serve God faithfully and to endure things that crop up in their lives that could be a source of discouragement to them, to help them work through that and to continue to serve the Lord in spite of those difficulties. Again, using himself as an example to encourage them. Because he says to them, and thanking them for this gift, and in expressing his joy over receiving it, he says, "I don't speak in regard to the gift." Paul would have continued rejoicing in the Lord, even if the Philippians were not able at this time to help him financially. And so he says, "I don't speak in regard to the gift, but I speak in reference to you and the opportunity that you finally have had to do what you've wanted to do for a long time, but were unable because you lacked opportunity." And he goes on to say that they've done very well in sharing with him in his distress in verse 14. And then he says in verse 17, as he reminds them of the many times that they've been generous towards him in the past, he says in verse 14, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." That's what really brought joy to Paul, was seeing these brethren whom he had been instrumental in bringing to Christ and converting them to the gospel, practicing their faith, being charitable toward Paul, and supporting the work of the preaching of the gospel and having fellowship with him. Remember what he said in the chapter 1 in verse 5, how that from the beginning they had fellowship or participation with Paul in the gospel. They were very supportive of his work. And here, again, they demonstrate that eagerness to support him and to help him. And he says, that is fruit. You're bearing fruit. And that's what pleased him. And that's what brought him joy. But he says something else that's very interesting here. And this is really what I want us to focus on this morning in this lesson. And he talks about the fact that, he rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content." And this is what I was saying, is that Paul takes the opportunity of receiving this gift as a way to present some more teaching to help them learn to be content and to help them to deal with the struggles that they're going through in their lives as they try to serve the Lord. He says, you had this desire to help me, you lacked opportunity, but now that opportunity has presented itself and you have been kind and generous towards me, and I rejoice, but not in regard to need, because I've learned to be content in whatever state I am. And then he goes on and he talks about that a little bit in detail. He says, I've learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And certainly, if you read some of Paul's other writings, some of his other epistles, he talks about these things in some detail. He talks about having to go hungry, having to go sometimes homeless, having suffered shipwreck, having not to go naked even, not having adequate clothing, not having adequate food, not having adequate supplies. He talks about some of those things in other letters in a little bit more detail. But he says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I am, whether I am abounding, if I have an abundance, or I lack. You know, I don't have everything that I could use or need. But whatever state I am, whatever the circumstance, financially, I've learned to be content. And he explains how he did that, or how he has come to that understanding and that point in his life where he can be content, whether he abounds or he's abased, whether he's up or he's down. It doesn't make any difference, because he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is Christ who helps me in all situations, whether I abound or I'm abased. I can handle those situations. I can deal with those problems. It's not going to put the brakes on what I'm trying to do and being an apostle and preach the gospel. I can handle those things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that certainly is a triumphant declaration, if there ever was one. And there's many in the scriptures, but here's a notable one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what I want to impress on our minds this morning is that we can make the same triumphant declaration, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because sometimes I fear we look at Paul and we study his life, we read his writings, and perhaps we view him as kind of a superhuman. You know, he was this man with his great mind and intellect, and God chose him to preach the gospel and to go into the world preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And we look at Paul and we say, wow, God really hit a home run when he picked Paul. But we look at ourselves and we feel about this big in comparison to him. And we say, I could never do what Paul did. I could never suffer the way he did. Or I can't have that kind of mindset. I wish I had that kind of mindset. I wish I had that level of faith that he had. But that's really beyond my grasp. And the reason we think that, if we do think that about Paul, is because we think that he accomplished that all by himself. That somehow he had this great reservoir of strength inside him that he could dip into when he needed to deal with these problems that came up in his life. But he says he tells us the secret. He tells us how he could do these things. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the same Lord that was supporting Paul and strengthening him to do what he'd sent him out to do is there for you and me to serve him in our time and to bear his word to the world. And so, let's not think that whatever inadequacies or failings we have, that's somehow going to interfere with God's plans for us in our time and what he's trying to accomplish in our day. We can make the same emphatic statement that Paul made. If we understand that it's Jesus, our Lord, who gives us the strength to do what we need to do, and that we can, in fact, do all things through him. Now, what I'd like to do this morning is show you how that this statement of Paul in verse 13, it expresses three qualities that ought to characterize every Christian. And it's not impossible for us if we understand just who it is, who is the source of our strength. Let me say, first of all, that Paul's statement here in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the first place, it expresses his complete dependence on Christ. Paul didn't depend on himself. Paul didn't rely on himself. He depended on the Lord. He put his faith and his hope in God. His complete dependence on Christ. I want you to see that this statement of Paul here, it's not an arrogant statement. Some might view it that way. Some might look at that and say, well, what an arrogant thing to say. I can do all things? And they forget the second part, or miss it totally. They just focus on the first part. I can do all things? That's pretty arrogant. That's really braggadocious. This guy's full of himself. Nobody can do everything. But it's actually, if you read the whole statement, it's actually a humble admission of dependency on the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If it wasn't for the Lord, then I couldn't do anything. But through him, I can do all things. He's not boasting in himself, in other words. He's boasting in the Lord. And that recalls something that he'd said earlier about Christians, about the church of God, that we are people who have no confidence in the flesh. We are the true circumcision, he said in chapter 3, verse 3, who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice or boast, and that's really the better translation, who boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And so Paul is not boasting in himself, he's boasting in the Lord. He's saying it's Christ who strengthens me and enables me and empowers me, not me. He's boasting in the Lord. He's acknowledging that it's Christ who strengthens him, that he is the source of his strength and of his power. And so he's giving God the credit. And we would do well to give God the credit and the glory for whatever we do, realizing that it's by his power and strength that we can do these things. And we need to declare that. We need to say, like Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, for two reasons. Number one, it helps us to remember who it is that we're dependent on to do what God has called us to do, to be what God has called us to be. We should never forget him in the busyness of the work and think it's all on us, because we will become arrogant and think it depends on us, when in fact it depends on him and the strength that he supplies. And so it reminds us of our unceasing need for God. But it also praises God, not ourselves, in the presence of an unbelieving Lord. as they look, as the world looks upon us and they see the good works that we do, what did Jesus say? Let these things be seen so that men may glorify God. You be an example. You be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, so that they may see your good works and glorify God. And so when we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we're giving the praise and the glory and the credit to God, and we're saying to the world, it is God who is working through me to do these things, and He deserves the glory. But Paul borrows a favorite word of the Stoics, the Stoic philosophers of his day. And he says, I've learned to be content. It's a translation of a Greek word that the Stoics loved to use and spoke of in their teaching. And the Stoics believed that contentment could be attained through the elimination of desire and emotion. And they taught people, if you want to be content in life, then you've got to get rid of desire. And they didn't teach people just deny yourself things. They said get rid of the desire that wants the thing. And emotion. Expunge those things from your heart and you will attain contentment. But their effort was completely human. It was through human effort that they taught people how to be content. Paul's contentment was divine. How did he learn to become content? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so in those times when he did lack, when he didn't have much in material things, and he had to go without, he'd learned how to do that through the strength that Christ supplied to him. It's not something that he came up with from inside himself. It's something that he received from God. You know, even in today's popular culture, people still kind of echo the philosophy of the Stoics to some degree. You might remember if you listen to popular music on the radio, you might remember there was a hit song several years ago by the singer Sheryl Crow. The song was called Soak Up the Sun. And in the song she talks about this woman who doesn't have a lot in material things. She doesn't even have money to buy the gas to put in her car so she can go to her friend, the communist, meetings. And she hasn't caught up with the digital age. She still plays her 45 records on the turntable. But she doesn't care, because as she summarizes her philosophy of life, and this is one of the lyrics in the song, it's not having the things that you want, it's wanting the things that you have. And that's sort of kind of like the Stoics. And you hear people today who want to kind of leave the world, so to speak. They want to return to a more primitive, simple lifestyle and give up a lot of the luxuries of this world, and go back to living off the land and living without electricity and without cable TV, kind of getting unplugged from the world and living a more simpler, more agrarian, primitive lifestyle, and learning to be content with what nature provides. These are all human endeavors to seek peace and contentment. But they rely on self to achieve those things. And that's not what Paul was advocating for. And the Bible does teach us to be content. And certainly we need to, the Bible warns us about covetousness and wanting too much. And certainly living in a prosperous nation like we do, it's easy to get caught up in the pursuit of things, because just looking around, it's what everybody seems to be engaged in, is in pursuit of the accumulation of wealth and things. But we're never going to get there through our own effort, but through the strength that God supplies. Human wisdom teaches, I will learn to be content through my own will. The gospel teaches, I will learn contentment through the strength that God supplies. And that's what Paul had learned. And that applies to everything. Everything that we need. Or everything that we would hope and aspire to become in our faith in God, in our Christian life, comes through Him, through the strength that He supplies. So we need to depend on Him. But Paul's statement here in verse 13 says something else about him. And that is his complete confidence in Christ. His complete confidence in Christ. It's a positive affirmation that through Christ's power, he can handle any situation, endure any affliction, and withstand any test. He can face hunger, thirst, homelessness, persecution, imprisonment, because his confidence is in the Lord, that God will not forsake him or leave him, that God will strengthen him even through these difficulties. In another letter that he wrote later to his beloved child in the faith, Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Paul spoke of a time when he was on trial. And he says in verse 16, at my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Do you not hear the confidence in that statement? The complete trust in God? There's no doubt or vacillation on his part whatsoever regarding God's goodness and kindness and power and love to deliver him from all things and to keep him preserved till the day when Christ comes again. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. And Paul even viewed his own death, his execution, as something that could not separate him from the love of God or prevent him from entering into that eternal kingdom. He had complete confidence in God. And we can have that confidence too. Again, if we understand that it's Christ who strengthens us. Put our confidence in Him, because He supplies the strength. He supplies the will. He supplies the means to help us deal with the trials of our lives. Trusting in the Lord removes fear and enables us to face any test. It removes doubt. There was a little girl who was riding her bicycle with her family one sunny afternoon in their neighborhood. And she had just learned how to ride. And this was kind of the first excursion of the family together with her brother, her older brother, and her parents riding in the neighborhood. And she was so proud and happy as she was pedaling along, because she could ride her bike like her big brother without the training wheels. And they were going around up and down the streets in their neighborhood. And then they turned a corner. And they came upon this big hill that went down pretty steeply. And her family went right up over the crest of that hill, and they started to descend that hill. But she stopped. And she stopped in terror and in fright as she saw this big hill in front of her, and she couldn't go any further. She was scared to death. She was scared that she was going to lose control and crash and get hurt. And so she just froze. And eventually her family realized that she wasn't with them anymore. And so they stopped and they looked back and they saw her still sitting up there at the top of the hill. And they said, what's wrong? What's wrong? Are you okay? Are you okay? And they kept encouraging her, come on, come on. And she wouldn't move. So they trotted back up the hill. And they said, what's the matter? What's wrong? And she said, well, I'm scared. I'm scared to go down this hill. I'm going to lose control. I'm going to get hurt. And they said, oh, it's okay. We taught you how to ride your bicycle on a hill like this. We taught you how to coast and to brake it if you start going too fast, and you can do it. You can do it. You can go down that hill. But she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't move. So eventually the mother said, I'll tell you what. If you go down this hill, I'll go with you, and I'll hold the seat. And I won't let go. So there's no fear. You won't lose control, because I'll be right there with you. And you just ride the bike like we taught you, and you brake at the appropriate time. And if you feel that you can't slow down enough, I'll be there, don't worry. I'll hold that seat, and I'll keep you from losing control and falling and getting hurt. And so the girl said, okay, let's do it. And so she started to pedal down the hill, and the mother went along with her, holding that seat. And they got maybe halfway or two-thirds down the hill. And at this point, the girl's confidence had come back and her fears had subsided, and she was able to finish going down that hill on her own. And what changed the girl's attitude was the promise that the mother would be there to help her. And she was confident in the strength of her mother to keep that bike from spinning out of control. Do we have that confidence in the Lord? Do we rely on His strength to keep things from getting out of control? Because sometimes life feels that way, doesn't it? Things happen to us and we feel that we're losing control, and situations are slipping through our hands, and we're kind of at the mercy of what's happening around us, and we don't know how things are going to turn out. We need to remember that God is in control. He strengthens us. And so there's no need to fear. Sometimes we have to face some giant hills in life. And certainly sometimes those problems are of a financial nature. You lose a job. Or you get sick. And the insurance only pays so much and you have to pay the rest. And so you dip into your savings that you've worked so hard to put aside. And things like that happen to us and cause us alarm, cause us fear. How can I deal with those situations? And we remember what the Bible says, be content, be content. But it's hard to apply that sometimes. Well, the problem is that we're forgetting that God is there with us. And He's in control. And so don't put your confidence in yourself, but put it in God. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David certainly was a man who had lots of troubles in his life. And yet, he could write these words, and they weren't something that he didn't really believe in. He believed in them totally and fully. He did not fear because the Lord was with him. And so Paul's statement in verse 13 is a wonderful expression of his confidence, his complete confidence in God. And that's where we need to put our confidence. But let me say one other thing before drawing this lesson to a close. This triumphant declaration of Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," it expresses his complete sufficiency in Christ. It expressed his dependence on Christ, his confidence in Christ, and it also expresses his sufficiency in Christ. It was his personal testimony that through the power of Christ, through the strength of Christ, that the power of Christ is sufficient to enable him to do the work that God had called him to do and to handle any situation that might arise. He didn't need anything else. He didn't need to rely on his own intelligence. He didn't need to figure out some clever way to get out of a scrape, get out of a bad situation. He relied on the Lord. And the Lord's strength was sufficient for him to deal with these things. Back in chapter 1 of Philippians, you remember Paul, after his initial greeting, he talks about his situation, his personal situation. Remember, he's a prisoner at this point. And he says in verse 12, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul was elated because his imprisonment, far from being a hindrance to the spreading of the gospel, had actually become a catalyst for an increase, a greater evangelistic activity, because it had emboldened others to preach the gospel. And he was very excited to share that news with them. Paul may have been confined, but the Lord wasn't confined. Paul's imprisonment didn't restrict God in any way. In fact, God used it to accomplish his will, in spite of Paul's imprisonment, to continue the preaching of the gospel, and it emboldened others to join in that work. And so God's strength is sufficient to do what we need to do. We look at ourselves and we look at the things that we don't like about ourselves. We look at ourselves with spiritual vision to evaluate ourselves and say, you know, what should I do to be a stronger Christian, to grow? And that's fine. We need to do that. But let's never think that because I'm not maybe at this level in my faith that somehow God can't use me because I'm still stuck down here somewhere. We look at our deficiencies as handicaps. But God can work in spite of those things. And God can work in spite of circumstances that may happen to us that may make it difficult for us to serve Him perhaps at the level that we did in the past. Because God's strength is greater than our weakness. Mo presented a lesson a couple weeks ago on personal evangelism. And that's something that I know the elders, and I'm sure we share that sentiment, that we want to dedicate ourselves to that and spread the gospel in this area, especially as we anticipate Nathan and his family coming to work with us. And he talked about some of the things that people, I guess, use as excuses or as reasons why they're not as active in personal evangelism, like lack of training, for example, or perhaps lack of ability. And I just want to encourage us that those things are not, should not, we should not feel that they are an impediment to the progress and the work of the gospel. Because it's God who, if we will let Him, working through us. And so I hope that this effort to encourage us all to be more active in personal evangelism, I hope it's not in vain. I hope we'll take it seriously. But we got to realize that our sufficiency is not in ourselves, it's in the Lord. And that submitting to Him and through prayer and through obedience to His teaching, we can do that work. We can do that work of preaching the gospel and converting people. Because it's His strength that fills in the holes and supplies what is lacking because of our weakness. He does those things. You know, you can look at many examples in the Bible of people that God used who appeared to be weak, and from a worldly point of view, you wouldn't want them to do such an important work as preaching the gospel or leading God's people. Look at Moses, for example. Here's a man who openly confessed his weakness and said, "Lord, I'm not a man skilled in speech. There's no way I can go into Pharaoh's presence and tell him to let the children of Israel go. He's not going to listen to me. I'm not your man." But God did use him to lead the people and to bring about a great deliverance to the children of Israel. Look at David. Here was someone that the family kind of forgot about when it came to choose a new king to replace Saul. Samuel had gone through all the sons of Jesse one by one, and not any of them had God picked. And he said, "Well, is there anybody else?" "Well, there's David over here, but he's out shepherding the sheep. He's just a boy, really. He doesn't look like a king. He certainly didn't have that impressive appearance like Saul had. He didn't have that royal aura hanging over him. And yet God said, he's the one. Anoint him." Look at the apostles. Look who Christ selected to be his apostles. He selected some fishermen. He picked a tax collector. He picked a zealot. He picked the people that you'd never think would be the people you'd want to proclaim the gospel. Because God can use such people to accomplish his work, because it doesn't depend on them. It's not through their strength or their power or their wisdom. It's through God's. Paul reminds us of that very thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verses 7 through 10. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 beginning, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul said, "I would rather have these infirmities and these afflictions and glory in those things, because in those situations, God's power rests upon me. His strength rests upon me. And as the Lord says, in weakness my strength is perfected. And so it's sufficiency in God. It's sufficiency in Christ. That's where it comes from. It's through Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you say that this morning? You certainly can. I hope that you will. I hope that you'll realize that through the power of God, you can do whatever He calls you to do, because He can give you the ability to do that. And He can help strengthen you in times of difficulty, times of trial and hardship. And you can continue to function in the kingdom and serve God no matter what the situation is. Philippians is a wonderful letter. And I would certainly encourage you to read it from time to time. To remember that it was written by a man who was in prison when he wrote it. And yet he speaks with such joy and hope and confidence in God. He wrote it to encourage Christians everywhere to have that same hope and joy in the Lord. And so let's keep these things in mind as we go forward from this day on. We can help you in your walk with the Lord. If you're not a Christian, then we certainly encourage you to look to Jesus for salvation and to come to Him in obedience, repenting of your sins and being baptized. But if you're someone who's been struggling as a member of the Lord's body, then I hope that this lesson in particular, but all of these lessons, will encourage you to put your total confidence and trust in God and let Him lead you. But if we can encourage you, we can pray for you or help you in any way, then this time is for you as well. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, would you please come as we stand?